Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and this is Magic at the Musicals podcast part two. More interviews from backstage at the Royal Albert Hall. Well, here I am in the green room of the Royal Albert Hall before Magic of the Musicals, which is tonight, of course, and I'm with Declan Bennett, who plays Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. You've walked in here with a guitar.
I have.
Which you're going to actually play as well as sing tonight. You play the guitar live on stage?
I can play guitar and sing at the same time.
Well, no, but when you
it's a rare talent these days.
Usually, the orchestra would be playing the music, yes, but you play the guitar
very
yourself.
Very true, yeah, very true. Well, it's part of the show, so when we actually do, you know, the full version of as we have done at Regent's Park last year, and again, returning this summer, the whole vibe of our production is a kind of very live gig, you know, and so that was it was very early on that we decided that Jesus definitely played the guitar.
And do other performers play their own instruments as well?
There's a couple of people, yeah, a couple of the lads play guitars, and I mean, you can, from the minute you walk into that space, you know, there's our speaker system looks like you're at Glastonbury. I mean, it's a big uh-huh. old, you know,
it's a big old concert yeah.
kind of vibe, but still kind of maintains a real heart of like theatre storytelling, which is ace.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's why I am with guitar this evening.
Now, you've also been in EastEnders playing Charlie Cotton. Mm-hmm. How do we leap from Charlie Cotton to Jesus? Similarities or not?
Oh, there's similarities. Both have slight problems with their father, shall we say? Particularly with the song that I'm performing tonight. But aside from that, that's what's been interesting about this past 12 months is jumping from, you know, Albert Square to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, in the middle of Jerusalem, which has been quite a leap. It's always quite interesting when you get roles that go back to back that are quite separate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Charlie played a bit of guitar, I think, in one of the episodes back
maybe
in the
maybe we're
day.
Clutching at a straw here to find the similarity.
We might be clutching at straws,
we might
yeah.
be. So what are you singing tonight?
I'm singing Gethsemane.
Great.
From Superstar, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it. So you're playing Jesus this
yep.
summer,
mm-hmm.
which was a revival of last summer's mm-hmm. performance. Looking forward to going back and hoping for good weather.
I absolutely can't wait, yeah.
yeah.
We really lucked out last year with the weather. I think there was only one performance that we had to cancel because of just rain. And my God, we tried.
Yeah.
we tried to plough through. But I think it was the moment when I... But prior to the 40 lashes, and I mean, it was like watching Bambi on ice. You know, I was all over the shop. You know, just the rain, and we just had to go. All right, guys, let's call it a night, shall we?
Yeah, and presumably with a lot of electricity around the stage, maybe not the safest.
Right, and just you know, Drew McConey's choreography is so brilliant and intense, but you know, you don't want a puddle of water under your feet when you're doing that.
Not really. No. So you're playing. Obviously, Jesus, a mm-hmm. good person. Have you ever wanted to play, or would you like now to play, a really evil person?
I would like to, yeah. That'd be quite nice. Be quite nice to...
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, as much as Jesus, he is obviously a very, you know, deemed a very good person, and he is a very good person, but the side of him that I am attracted to and the side of him that we tried to pull out as much as we could last year was this kind of like... this anarchy in him, do you know what I mean? And bringing him into the 21st century and having him be this anarchist, you know, that, mm-hmm. that people were following. And it feels very relevant to, you know, politics and stuff today. So it was quite an interesting way to approach it rather than being this kind of solid holy deity.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So there's quite a bit about him. He's,
yeah.
he's strong and forceful and
he's got balls. Are we allowed to say that?
I think we can say
okay,
that.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we can. We could definitely say that. And looking forward in the future, do you see yourself going back more into television, or do you think you'll do?
I love theatre. Yeah, I came from theatre and from music predominantly. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually writing a piece of theatre at the moment.
Oh, are you? What's that?
Yes, it's called An Innocent Evening of Drinking.
Right.
It's a four-person. I'm kind of, I don't really want to say musical in that sense because it's not a traditional musical, but it's a piece with songs and visuals. It's quite an immersive experience that we're hoping to get up on its feet for the first run in November this year.
Oh, wow.
So finish, you know, when we come to the end of Superstar, that's going to be kind of in my head and playing forward with that. And then I've got some new music coming out over the summer as well. So that you've written yourself.
Written, so yeah. I mean, you're a composer as well as
and have been since I was a kid. So yeah. It's always interesting, you know, when you come from that background and you have a lot of kind of work under your belt or a lot of material, and then you do something like EastEnders, and then it's like, oh, you're the guy from EastEnders, and you go, yes, that is true, but I've also done this and this and this.
But does that make it easier though to get the exposure for the music? Do you think?
I think sometimes, yeah. But I think people that are hardcore EastEnders fans are hardcore EastEnders fans. You know, they watch that and it's in that you're in their living room, you know, four nights a week, and you know, you are that person, and it's. I think sometimes it can be difficult for people to kind of see you as, you know, as something, you know, outside of that. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try and knock it to them. We'll see what happens.
Breakthrough. Do people shout at you in the street?
Do you know who last shouted at me was Lionel Blair, which was quite funny.
Right.
And I think he came up to me at the Soap Awards and said, "You leave Dot alone." I was like, all right, Lionel, I will.
Yes, I once went out. I went out to lunch with a friend of mine who was in EastEnders. It was a long time ago, and I had no idea how that kind of soap opera fame is just extraordinary. People absolutely believe you're the character. We went into a pub, and it was so horrible, we had to go out and get a sandwich and take it somewhere else.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is,
and it
really
always
crazy.
Happens. I mean, it does happen in London, but you know, I'm from Coventry, so you know, when you go back up to Carve or you go, you know, out into the, you know, slightly smaller cities, it's crazy, and it's always the worst in a supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always if you're in like Sainsbury's, or whatever, doing your weekly shop, and people line up your basket like that. He's just bought whole milk.
He's
like, look at it.
And people don't think you do your own shopping because you're in EastEnders.
Because
you don't do your own shopping.
I get it shipped in.
Yeah, exactly.
Brought to me on a silver platter.
So where are you in the running order tonight? Are you on early? Do you know?
I think I'm on early. I think I'm on.
Right, so does that mean you can get it done and then you can...
Get it done and then I'm
going to
see you in that
bar. Enjoy the green room
atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah, which is always nice because I'd prefer that than...
You want to be in the first half, don't you?
Of course you do.
I think these occasions because it's a big night.
It is a big night. I didn't really... know that much about it, you know. Forgive me, I didn't really know it was a thing. I think I'd heard of, you know, it's magic at the musicals. I was like, I think I've heard of magic of the musicals.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't entirely, you know, versed in what was going on. And then when they asked me to do it, and I was like, oh God, this is an enormous,
it's big
event and very exciting. And I've been chatting to some other people about it who always go, oh my God, it's the best one. It's the best one. I love it.
Well, we can't wait to see you. And
thanks.
Thank you very much for coming.
You're
down
welcome.
Here to have a
Cheers.
Chat with us. Thank you. So I'm now talking to Simon Gleeson, who's completely thrown me because I thought the next person I was going to be talking to was Samantha Barks. Could you be Samantha just for a bit?
Sure,
Simon,
no
if you wouldn't
worries.
Mind.
I wish. He's
I've
awesome.
Also, I've also been eating chocolate buttons, which you might be able to hear. Simon, now, how did you get from Australia to here? How did that happen?
Plane.
Did you? You flew. I knew you didn't swim. I knew you were going to say
yeah,
that.
It was one or the other, and I thought, well, the kids aren't good swimmers yet. So, look, I did Les Miserables in Australia, the new production that was going around, and then a little bit in Asia, and then they said, why don't you come over to London for a little while? So that's what we're doing, and I'm here till June.
Oh, so not that much longer then?
No, it's time to go home, yeah.
Oh, okay. How long have you been away for?
All up a while, travelling. This stint since November, so.
All right, yeah, so that's a while to be away
it's
from
winter, basically.
Family and things.
No, they're all here. So
oh,
that,
you
that part of it
brought
is
them
fine.
With you?
Yeah.
Okay,
but,
all right.
But we managed to get all of winter in, which was, we're so lucky.
Yeah, yes, you did that really well.
I know, yeah.
Because you're going back to winter.
We're going back to winter at hell, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But there's winters and winters, and London really does winter, you know, and we don't do such a great winter, so it'll be fine.
Okay, okay. So what are you're singing tonight. What are you singing tonight?
So I'm singing...
Which one are you doing?
Bring Him Home, and then a new song from that they wrote for the film of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, so you're singing, you're performing two songs?
So Evermore, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so... and I haven't heard the arrangement yet or anything like that, so it's going to be really exciting, yeah.
What you haven't heard the arrangement and you're performing it tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard.
Have you practiced at all?
I've heard how it goes.
Do you know the song?
Yeah, I know the song.
You know how the song
goes.
I just
haven't heard how the orchestra sounds or anything like that. So,
will you hear it before tonight's
performance? Yes, we'll have a little run through in, I don't know, 20 minutes or something like that.
So. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'd hate it to take you by surprise when you suddenly go, oh, didn't realise.
Oh, it's just flute. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. How do I get my first note? Oh, hang on.
Yeah, so luckily that we'll have a little run through, yeah.
Les Miserables obviously has been your kind of bedrock, would you say, of your musical theatre career?
Yeah,
in that it's taken you all over the world.
Yes, so yes, that yeah. I have worked in London a few times, and we lived here for 5 years and did a few shows on the West End, which was great.
Right.
In the West End, as they say here. So, I do know London very well, but I would say Les Miserables. I certainly have not been in a show as long as I have been for Les Miserables. Mm.
And when you go back, what are the plans
for? I'm going straight into a Noel Coward play.
Oh, which one?
Hay Fever.
Yeah, okay.
At the Melbourne Theatre Company, which will be beautiful. I love working there. And then I am going to be a father for a while my wife takes on the mantle of working. So yeah.
Oh, and what does she do?
She's an actress. Yeah.
Right. Mm. So do you sort of try to take it? And it's very difficult
Hard.
To
Best
try
job
and take
wins.
It, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I guess when the children were so young, it was. Pretty much the only option was me, especially while she was feeding. Although there's lots of actresses who bring their children in, breastfeed while they're doing, I mean, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So, we decided that it would work better this way if I kept going. So,
Yeah. And then obviously, well, how old are your children now?
10 and six.
Okay, so
six.
They're school age.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
I have my life.
So you can rest in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I always
think
that must be the really difficult thing, because if you're performing in the evening and then you've got children who wake up at
Especially
6 o'clock,
when they were
that's
young.
Tough.
I was doing Love Never Dies in Australia, and I start the second act, so they can't start without me. I used to have a little sleep knowing that I would get a... on the door and go, are you coming out to do this or not? But I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
Because I definitely didn't want to be one of those fathers that, well, I'll sleep in that room and I won't have anything to do with that. I wanted to be hands-on and get amongst it. So,
So Hay Fever, so straight theatre or musical theatre?
I'm really looking forward to, after 3 years of Jean Valjean, I'm looking forward to sitting on a couch and being pithy, I've got to say. But
in a dinner jacket.
Yeah. But it's an impossible question to answer. What I do love is both would be my answer.
Yeah.
And to mix it up as often as possible.
And are you doing Hay Fever with English accents?
I don't know. I think it'd be very hard not to.
That's what I was thinking.
Know.
I can't see Coward in Australian
that there
accent,
was
but
yeah.
That could be very biased of me.
I don't know.
Maybe it would work perfectly well with an Australian accent.
I think Noel Coward would turn in his grave.
He might.
If get your thongs on and get out of the pool was in it, you know.
Although Noel Coward came from Croydon, didn't he?
I think he did.
He's,
yeah,
and
right,
he
yeah.
actually poshed himself up quite a bit because, like, this Happy Breed, I don't know if you know that one of his,
no, I don't.
Which is about the sort of lower working class. Background, lower middle class background that he came from.
So semi
biographic,
was it?
Yeah, and it's certainly not how we imagine Noel Coward to be.
Not
there
at all.
Isn't, no, no.
But I must admit,
Chased
I see
himself.
That a lot in this country. I see the blurring of lines. The class system is probably still alive and well here. We don't really have one in Australia, not one as fixed as here. And so much of it is denoted by accent. That you see such a blur of accents and you think, I don't know where you're from, or you didn't quite sound that way last time I saw you 7 years ago or whatever it is. So
Well, the joy for us actors is that we can change it about.
That's right.
We can be any, you know. We can move that accent around.
And ideally, the one furthest from you is the most fun.
Yeah.
So
Or you just try to do the one where no one can tell where you came from, what you are, and be that just completely neutral person,
and the one that doesn't travel too
which
much
is always
to
good.
Other
so
lands.
So, well, and what are you looking forward to seeing tonight?
Oh, there's a lot of the new shows that I've never heard of. So I've not heard of The Wedding Singer, The Wind in the Willows. I have none of this I know of. It's great to see the kids at School of Rock get up and have a go, because I got to show my kids that one. We love that. And but just to see anything, you know, when you work, you're locked in a in a room and you're working the same hours as everyone else. So just to be able to be amongst other people and not necessarily sing myself for 3 hours, which would be nice.
Yes, just the two songs.
Just the two songs. So yeah, we did two shows yesterday, but today.
And will you be? You'll be able to sneak out front. Do you think?
I actually
watch some of the show. How's
I'm
that
going to
work?
Say that you let me. So I'm going to say yes, and it's on you.
Okay, right. I said that you could sneak out. Are you singing in costume or are you singing
just in a suit?
Okay, so no one will notice.
No,
I think
I'm just going to.
Well, maybe you'll need a hat and some dark glasses. They will recognise you.
I'm not even going to go to the seat. I'm just going to stand side stage.
Okay.
And pretend that I belong and be authoritative, and we'll be fine.
Look like you might be going on next.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or possibly you finished your two numbers and then watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think my wife and my daughter are coming tonight, so they're really excited. Especially my daughter, really excited to see some shows.
Oh, it's a fantastic show.
Oh, have you hearing that is amazing.
Yeah, and you've done. Have you done the Albert Hall before?
No, 2 weeks before they asked me. Whether I would be interested to come and have a little warble, I said to my wife, I'd love to go and see something at the Albert Hall, or even just to go in and see the thing, because it's got this gravitas. And then 2 weeks later, a call came, and I thought, well, that's ideal.
That's fate.
And then I walked out just then and had a little sing of Bring Him Home and went, oh, good Lord, that is quite a big auditorium, so...
But as I've been saying to everyone, it's quite intimate, actually. For its size, when it's full of people, I think it feels quite an intimate space.
That's
certainly when you
me.
Watch things, you feel like you are... It's not like being in some arena, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big theatre, but because it's almost in the round, really, you do feel quite close to everybody.
Yeah.
There's not some, you know, massive distant...
No, that's right. It's wide, but because it is... is circular, you feel like you are hemmed in a bit. It actually feels gladiatorial, so, and we're the kind of ones getting eaten by lions.
Okay. that's a way to look at it.
That's a little insight into the way I go about my business.
All right,
yeah.
Okay.
Feeling like I'm going to be eaten by a lion.
Thank you so much
very
for
welcome.
Coming in to talk to us in the midst of your... many rehearsals.
No problem.
And I hope you get yourself something nice to eat and drink before showtime.
Thank you very much.
And that your family will enjoy it, because I know we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon. We're going in quick succession now. Yeah. Yes. So now, we've just said goodbye to Simon Gleeson, who's off to have something to eat or whatever, or get ready for his next song. And in his place, slipped right into where he was sitting, is Samantha Barks, who is... going to be singing from... Well, what are you singing tonight?
I'm singing on my own.
Oh, you're singing... Oh, from Les Mis. Yes, of course you are. Yes, because... Let's go back to... You were in I'd Do Anything.
Yeah.
Which was the search for Nancy in Oliver.
Yeah.
And that was in 2008.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was nearly 10 years ago. And I'm looking at you now thinking, were you not then a little bit young... Nancy.
Oh yeah, well that's why.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
But it was an amazing thing to do, to get to be a part of, and it was really fun. At age 17, you're kind of, I think, a bit fearless, because why not? You're full of adventure, and there's sort of no. I had nothing to lose. It was like, what an exciting experience for me. I was just like, if I could sing in front of Andrew Weber, that'd be amazing. Like an amazing thing to sort of. Tick off my list of dreams, and I didn't expect to get all the way through to, you know, the final, but amazing.
And you'd already done musical theatre training before that?
Well, I was currently training. I'd moved over from the Isle of Man to London to train when I was 16, and that's when I auditioned for the show, thinking it'd be an amazing life experience, and it turned out to be an even more exciting journey than I'd ever planned.
So that was in the middle of your training, so you sort of left drama school or whatever
because I got to the finals, that was a lot of weeks out of school, a lot of weeks on TV, and so actually I'd missed too much to then I'd have to retake the year,
right?
So
your career kind of took off from that moment, so that you didn't...
Well, I was very lucky.
To complete the training, I
then played Sally Bowles in Cabaret, which was my first job, so that was an experience I you know, would never have turned down in a million years. So it was an amazing thing to get to do.
Yeah.
That was my first job.
You obviously hadn't worked before the Nancy
no.
thing, but Sally Bowles. Well, again, you would be a young Sally Bowles, actually. You were what, 17, 18 then?
I'd say every role I've played, apart from Eponine, I've been the youngest version of.
Yeah.
So I think I was the youngest Sally Bowles that time. I played Velma Kelly. I'm a very young Velma Kelly, yeah. A very young Nancy. I did play Nancy, very young. Yeah, but that is, yeah. Apart from Eponine, who's sort of, I guess, was my age when I played it.
And then you went into the West End production of Les Miserables to play Eponine.
Yes.
And then you got the film.
Then I played Nancy in Oliver.
Oh, okay.
And then I did the film.
And then
yeah.
you did the film. So how did you find out that they wanted you for the film of Les Miserables?
Well, I was actually doing Oliver at the time, taking my final bow, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of cameras in the audience, which is all very bizarre, and Cameron McIntosh walked out on stage to do a speech, which I had no idea what this was all about, but I assumed I'd missed a memo, missed an email that something was happening tonight. And then he then and there on stage announced that I was going to be playing Eponine in the film, so it was like a life-changing moment right there in front of a live audience, which is
so he
amazing.
Told you, you found out on stage in front of the whole audience
yeah.
that you had got the film part. And then did you say, actually, I need to think about this because we haven't got the contract signed or anything before I accept it? Or did you just go, yeah, that'll do?
Yeah, it was a straight yes. I mean, you can. It's actually all on YouTube, and it's like there's no moment of hesitation between me jumping no. around and screaming, for sure. Never.
Amazing. And so what an incredible thing to happen, to
yeah.
just suddenly, you know, there is a level of fame that goes with musical theatre, but is nothing to do with the film world. And so how did you cope with that transition from musical theatre to Hollywood?
Well, yeah, it is. It's quite. But the thing is, it's interesting, is when you film the film, no, you know, nothing's changed really, because no one's seen the film. So it's actually only when the film comes out, mm-hmm. people said your life's going to change, and I was like, no, it's the same, nothing's changed. And then the film came out, and of course that was a big jump, because we, you know, we sung at the Oscars and did all those fantastic, exciting things. So yeah, it was a very life changing experience. But you could take it day by day, you know, just try and keep your life the same, just the events around it are mad and exciting. But if you sort of maintain your, you know, your my family, my friends, my everything that is important to me is still the same in your life. And that's, as long as that's the most important thing, and you don't start going, oh, I really love that other aspect of it, which is fine also to do, but it's quite easy to lose your way, I think. If
yeah.
that's
and I think people have a sort of idea that you no longer shop for yourself or go to the hairdresser.
Oh,
do you
well,
know
yeah.
what? I think people think that because you've been yeah. in the film that your life is just completely different. You have servants and swimming pools.
Yeah.
And actually, it's probably not all that different. You still have to
get
yourself dressed in the morning and go to work.
No, it's exactly the same. It's like your life, it should be what makes you happy. And I think if you have, like, you know, if you take pleasure in things that are day to day, those things don't ever change. And enjoy the excitement and all of those things, but don't get caught up in it, because it's a roller coaster. It goes up and down, and and if you ride that too much, it's hard for the head, I think.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your head is well and truly screwed on.
Oh, don't
right,
thank
I
you.
Would say. You sound very grounded. What are you looking forward to seeing tonight when you're not singing yourself?
I am really, really excited to hear a bit of Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about that because I'm a Disney nerd and I haven't seen it yet, so I'm giddy about that. There's some amazing singers. The
you
wedding
said you're
singer.
A Disney nerd, so is that what would you like to play? Which Disney part would be your dream role?
I don't know. I don't know if
you look like you could play any of them.
I don't think so. I don't know if I. Well, I don't know what my Disney princess is really, but I'd play like any of the Disney animals. I'd play the parrot in Aladdin or the monkey.
You see, I'm sitting here looking at you, thinking
the tiger.
More a princess role.
I know, but I can't cast
monkey,
myself as a princess. It's
I
my
think you could. Well,
dream,
I think everybody else would cast you as one. You look like the absolute stereotypical Disney princess. I mean that in the nicest way.
No,
you're gorgeous.
Thank
with
you.
With your dark hair, and you could be a yes.
I don't know which one. I mean, when I was a kid, it was Snow White, Because
well, Beauty
my sister
and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but my sister was Belle, so I couldn't have that. It was off limits.
Oh, right.
She had the dress. She was Belle. No arguments. So right. That was off limits to me. But I sing it all the same. Sing all the Disney songs. It's amazing. I am. I'm so such an amazing lineup tonight. It's just so exciting to see some really good friends of mine as well. You know,
yes,
it's
who,
really nice.
Who are your friends that are performing?
Cassie and John, who are doing The Wedding Singer.
Yep.
I've just caught up with them. So that's really cool. And then I'm yet to see everybody now, but I can see everyone on the list, but I'm waiting to have a little catch up with everyone. It's nice, these events, because you get to see people that you haven't seen for years, but but it's always
lovely. Exactly. Oh, there's a huge social side to this, I think. The benefit for the performers is they all get to meet up and go, oh, we were in such together
well,
5 years ago or whatever.
Ruthie Henshaw, obviously a huge, amazing inspiration of mine, amazing performer. I love her. Well, the other week I was coming back from New York, and it was a delay, which is nothing worse than a delay on a plane. But all of a sudden, I look up and there's Ruthie Henshaw, and she was like, "Hi!" I said, "Hi," because we haven't met before, but I just love her, and we just literally sat and just gossiped and chatted for hours, and it was like the best plane delay I've ever had. So it was so nice to see her. It was like long time no see. I only saw you a few weeks ago. It was snowing and crazy weather.
Yeah, great. So what's next for you? Work-wise.
I am filming at the moment. And then
filming what?
A surprise. I can't say. I'm never allowed to say. I always get in trouble for things.
Secret. How annoying.
We'll have to see. I'm not sure. I mean,
Where are you filming?
I'm filming in London. There you go. Okay. I'm filming in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where in London?
everywhere. I promise. Okay. But I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I got to do a musical at the end of last year. Got to do The Last 5 Years, which is like a dream of mine. And then now filming. And so it's, I'd love to do some theatre again, because I loved doing the last mm-hmm. 5 years so much. So yeah, I'd like to do that next.
And how long is it since you've sung on my own?
Oh, not long.
Apart from 10 minutes ago when you did your sound check. But
well, I do them at my I sing it at my concerts and stuff like that. So it's I love it. Oh my gosh, that even just the first opening few bars of that song still gets me mm-hmm. every single time. They're so beautifully written, those songs in Les Mis. So yeah, everything. Yeah. Everything is exciting to perform it here tonight.
Yes, the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about that?
Well, I mean, obviously petrified and excited, and it's huge. When you get onto that stage, it's so big. But I actually was stood in the wings, and I said, oh, I was thinking of like a weird deja vu, familiar feeling. And I sung on my own here like years ago when I was doing the show in town, and we came and did a few snippets from Les Mis for the Classical Brits.
Right.
And so I just had this really weird film, but last time I was in costume, and I just had this funny feeling of I've sung this here, so this is going to be a bit different. It's going to be a bit...
You're not in costume tonight.
Not in costume.
No?
A big ball gown. And
what are you wearing? Ball gown.
Temple-y. I'm wearing a Temple-y dress, which I'm excited about. Yeah. So it's, and a pair of heels. It's like Eponine's never seen a pair of heels, but tonight I will be wearing some.
Well, we can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
Looking forward to your performance. And thank you so much for coming back here to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, no, I'm with you. You're going to help me out with this, but it's Sonna Den Besten.
Sonna Den Besten.
Sonna Den Besten. Now, the reason I have to ask that... Mm. Because I should be able to say people's names, is that you're Dutch.
Yes, I'm Dutch. It's a Dutch name.
Yeah. Now, what I want to know is, how did you get from Holland to... Well, you're playing Sophie in Mamma Mia.
Yes,
let's be clear about that.
Yes,
that's what you're doing.
Am.
And actually, I'm looking at you now on the sofa, and you look like you're in... Are you in costume?
No, I'm not.
Are you not? But
is
you
that
look,
a compliment?
But you look exactly like Sophie looks in Mamma
Mia.
Mia
blue. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, and very
bright. She looks
bright.
A little bit more summery. Even than this.
Yes. But you still do look relatively summery considering
yeah.
it's not really a very nice day outside and we're in the Albert Hall. But anyway, you look very summery.
Yes.
And how did you get from Holland to Mamma Mia in the West End?
Well, I've worked in Holland for 2 years and I've always wanted to audition in England. So I just emailed an agent and sent her loads of material and pictures and was like, I don't even want full representation, but I'd love to try and audition, have like one or two auditions here. And then I auditioned for Les Mis, and I got Les Mis, so I came over last 2 years ago,
And then I did that for a year, and then I did Mamma Mia.
So you came over all on your own?
Yes.
From Holland?
Yes.
To live and work in London?
Yeah.
That must have been quite scary, wasn't
it? Yes. In a way...
And didn't know anybody?
No. Well, my boyfriend is English. And
ah,
I met
that
him,
helps a bit.
Yes. I met him 10 months before I came here, so I... But yeah.
How did you meet him then?
I met him on another show, which was with a Dutch and English cast. It was half-half. And we played there on a festival in France, in Avignon. So... Yeah, I just left. I knew a month before I had to start in London that I got the job. So in a month, kind of had to pack my whole house together in a few suitcases and came over.
And how's that
didn't have a house
out?
Yet.
No.
Just like one tiny room and found a house and yeah.
And
but it's
so
been great.
Are you settled? Do you think London's it now? Is this going to be your home?
Oh, I've never been a person that is like... That's what I'm going to do, and then that's what I'm going to... So I just see where, yeah, things will bring me with work as well, like what the next thing will be. I don't worry too much. Like, if the right thing comes along, then that will be the right thing. So I'm really enjoying work here, but maybe I'll go back in a few years. I don't know yet.
Now, I have to ask, you're playing Sophie, which
yes.
is kind of the Juve lead in Mamma Mia, mm-hmm. but obviously you have to play opposite... Some people who are behaving quite badly in that show. And I want to know how you manage to keep a straight face when you're playing opposite incredibly funny women who are mucking about, probably.
Well, the fun thing with Mamma Mia is, like, it's summer and they've not seen each other and are all having lots of fun. So even sometimes when you are laughing, or it only adds, I think, to the atmosphere of, oh, I've not seen you for a while, and the dynamos together are having a laugh because they haven't seen each other for years. Mm-hmm. I think that is all allowed in Mamma Mia, and that's why it's so fun.
And what are you singing tonight from it?
I'm singing Thank You for the Music.
Yeah, you see, I'd heard that rumour. That.
Yes.
It's you won't know this, and there's no reason why you should, but famously, my karaoke number...
Oh,
thank you
is
for
it?
The music. Yes, I have been known to do it after a few drinks, and so I'll really enjoy hearing it sung properly. That'll be. So this runs, and you're in Mamma Mia for how long? Do you know?
I finished in 6 weeks, actually. So
oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
and. Is it an open book? What happens next?
It is an open book.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for that because I have been non-stop working, so I get to kind of step back a bit and see what do I want to do? What more is out there? When you're in a show, it's so lovely, but you're doing 8 shows a week and there isn't much opportunity for other things. TV, film, like all the other things mm-hmm. that are out there. So it would be quite nice to be open for those things.
What would be your dream role in a musical? Doesn't even have to be on at the moment in the West End, but if
yes.
you could choose any part,
what
would be your dream role right now?
If Anastasia would come over to London within the next year, I would love to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we can't wait to see you. The Albert Hall, presumably, you haven't performed in the Albert
Hall
before.
I haven't even seen anything.
Have you been upstairs yet? Have you done your sound check?
Yeah, I've done my sound check.
And so what did you think of it out there?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing also to hear all the other performers because you get to really hear what it sounds like, and everything sounds incredible.
Yeah, the acoustics are wonderful.
Yes.
That, I think. Yeah.
I just want to have this big orchestra every night now when I go back.
Yeah.
It will be a bit of a change.
You know, what, this tiny theatre?
Yeah.
What's that?
What am I doing here?
Yeah. Oh, well, we're hugely looking forward to Thank You for the Music tonight.
Yes,
I can't
me
wait
too.
For it. Yes. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sunna Den Besten.
Yes.
Was that good?
That was correct,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much for chatting to us.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Now, I have three sailors sitting on the sofa. I might have to get you to identify yourselves, because you all look quite similar, if I might say.
Yeah, we're dressed very similar.
You are dressed very similar.
I'm the one called Danny Mack.
Yes.
I'm Sam Edwards.
And I'm Fred Haig.
Right. And you are in On the Town, which
yes,
hasn't
are.
Opened yet.
No.
No. When does it open?
It's very much a work in progress at the moment.
Is it? Is tonight a work in progress, or
yes.
are we ready for that?
No, you can rehearsing
that.
For tonight
no.
a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been rehearsing a bit. It's a slight alteration on what we've been rehearsing in the studio. But
in that it's in the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we open, previews start on the 19th of May, and press night, I believe, is the 25th of May, yep. and we run until the 1st of July.
So you should be nearly ready.
Yes, yes.
We've got Do you know your words yet?
Yeah, I think we're just about there with the words, aren't we?
We know the
just
words. About, yeah. Not the right order, but we know the words.
But you know the words and the notes.
Yes.
But
yeah, the notes. Yeah.
Sort of and
we're
what,
bigging it up, aren't we? Yeah, no, it's past your silly.
Now, the dancing thing. Now, Danny,
hello.
I did say to my producer before you came into the room, I'm still livid that you didn't win Strictly. And I don't really do dancing at all. But your dancing on that was phenomenal, if I might say. I'm going to gush a bit because I don't think I've ever really gushed over someone in Strictly before, but I did gush.
Thank you so much.
Me and my partner sat and watched it and we went, we might even have to lift up the phone.
Oh, and brilliant.
We didn't.
Did you? You no, didn't. Well, didn't. That's why I didn't,
didn't
win then,
obviously,
isn't it?
We didn't go that far. but you, it was fun. It must have been an incredible experience to do it.
It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I mean, Ore was is a true champ. He's a fantastic guy and he was brilliant. Well, truly deserved. And it's lovely when you hear comments like that. But it was just the fun in doing it. I mean, that's something, everyone that watches it says how much they'd love to do it, you know. Oh, I wish it wasn't a celebrity-based program. I wish anyone could do it because everyone wants that experience. And so it's a real privilege to be involved in it. And it was, really was a dream.
Yeah. Well, you came in right at the beginning, just being outstanding and then got more and more outstanding.
Oh, I had a great teacher.
And we just all look forward every week to your... When's Danny on? When's Danny on? That's what we said in our house anyway.
That was the fun with it, yeah. Is because we had 3 weeks just to learn that one dance, and that's the longest time you get. And me and Oti worked really, really hard on that 90-second routine, mm-hmm. for 3 weeks. And then once we realised we had set that bar for ourselves, it was about then trying to maintain it and keeping people entertained. Because as soon as they're not entertained by you, then you leave.
So. And I think that's a bit unfair because I think people think when you're so good at the beginning, then they're looking for that journey thing and all of that they're always talking about. And I think, well, you were just brilliant from the beginning. Just give him credit for being brilliant.
It was. It's nice, but there's a lot of hard work behind it. You know, it's not just... I definitely, honest to God, did not rock up on day one like that. So, no, it's a testament to the work put in and the teacher. So.
Right, now you two, how about your dancing? How's that?
How about it?
Well, I mean, I trained at the same school as you, Danny, so therefore I'd like to think no, but not with the old, not with this Strictly style of things I do. He was fantastic on Strictly, but we can
shake a leg.
Throw some shapes.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have to in this. So I mean, even if we couldn't, we're learning to now. No, we yeah.
And Fred, this is your debut, West End debut, really, is it?
It's my London debut.
Your London debut.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what before this? Were you?
I went to first of all, I went to Bristol University.
Right.
Got a degree there, and then went to Lambda. And then went into a play in Coventry last year, which was fantastic, first experience.
At
the Belgrade, yeah, at the Belgrade. And it was called Ostrich Boys. And it was
Did
really
you stay
great.
In the flats at the Belgrade? Do
no,
they still
I
have the artist
no,
flats?
No, I was in Diggs, just a little bit out of the centre. But I loved it.
Just really as well, because those flats are evil. And they were evil 30 years ago when I stayed in them anyway.
Right.
Yeah, what went on in those flats is nobody's business.
No, but we were spared evil. And since then, I've done a you know, a couple of things here and there, but this is my first sort of London stage job. So, yeah, I'm sort of being taught the ropes by these guys and, you know, again, to use a naval pun.
There could be lots of those.
Oh, I suppose, I think we've had a fair few going around the rehearsal room already. Yeah. But it's been fantastic and I'm really, really excited about it.
This takes you through the summer.
It does, yeah.
I'm going to ask each one of you in turn if you could get your most perfect job following your run in the Regent's Park Theatre, what would it be? You can say bricklayer.
Well, plumbing does very well these days.
Yeah. It does.
I have to say, like, and this is maybe deemed a shameless plug, but I already have a job which I would absolutely consider my dream job. I'm going straight to the National after this. To do Follies with Imelda Staunton.
Oh, wow.
After that. It is okay.
Name drop.
I'm really sorry. No. I wouldn't otherwise. But genuinely, the National Theatre is a dream. So, I mean, I would be lying if I said there was anything else.
How wonderful to know that you've got that lined up.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very fortunate. But, right. I mean, all focus is on this at the moment.
So that's Fred done. Yeah. You're sorted. Sam?
Oh, myself, really, nothing. There's nothing specific. I love. I had a bit of time out last year, so I wasn't doing sort of eight shows a week. I wasn't doing musicals. So, being back, I love doing a show in the West End. There's something really exciting about doing, it's hard work, but there's something really exciting about doing 8 shows a week in the West End. It beats any other. For me, people can say they love Broadway, but for me, you know, performing in front of that live audience every night, you never know what's going to come out of your mouth, you know. And if you're tired, if there's other things on your mind, you have to come in and you have to do this show. And it takes, not only does it take the audience's mind away, hopefully, from their troubles or whatever's going on at home, it also takes our mind away. It puts me in a separate world for that period of time as well. And there's nothing I love more than performing on a stage every night in London. Mm-hmm. So
you don't care what it is, as long as it's 8 shows a week in London. I just love you'll performing. Be happy. You'll be happy.
Okay.
Danny, your dream job.
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, it's a musical. Following this one would be hard to beat this, because this job's been so fantastic even thus far. You know, a creative job in a place like Regent's Park is a dream. Genuinely, I've wanted to work there for years. So I think I'd step away from theatre in a dream world. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, wouldn't mind a Hollywood movie. I'd quite like to be a superhero, and that
would you? Which one?
I've always set myself as a Robin, but I think I'm getting too old for
okay.
that.
Okay,
Robin to a Batman.
Can I be your Batman?
You can be my Batman.
That's perfect.
And a movie would be lovely. A drama would be fantastic. But if I'm going back to theatre, I think I'd like to be Fred Stresser
at the National.
Follies at the National.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, right. Gonna pay for that one.
Well, I'm gonna get on the website now and book all these tickets for all these things now, because that's it. So, On the Town, opening on the 23rd. 25th press night at Regent's Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Follies opening sometime in the autumn, I presume, when you finish this.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know.
You don't know the date?
I do know the date. Would you like to know the date? It's September the 6th.
Okay, right. Okay.
It's in.
Good luck tonight. Thank you so much for coming in to chat. It's been really fun chatting to you. Yeah. Thank you. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you later. Thank you.
Bye.
I'm talking to Emma Hatton.
Hello.
Now, you're going to sing tonight, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, aren't you? Because you are currently in the tour of Evita.
I am, yes.
Yeah. Where have you been with your tour?
We have just got back from a 3-week trip to Munich and Zurich.
Oh, international tour of Evita.
Yes.
Okay. And, tell me, for the tour, how does the balcony work?
So it kind of slides forward. It's very intricate, like jigsaw of set. And it's like kind of like Jenga pieces that they don't fall down, hopefully.
Someone just pulls a bit out.
But it moves forward, so it's really clever staging, because it makes the audience feel like they are part of the crowd that she's actually addressing.
Yes.
So it's very atmospheric.
And does it twist at the top?
It
like the one in
no.
No. Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Sorry,
twist. I mean I can twist, but I could do a nice turn, but I don't. The set doesn't turn me around, no.
No, okay. but you do have to look down at that crowd humming at you.
Yes.
Yeah, during that number.
Yeah.
This is not really relevant to anything much, but I have to ask, have the crowd ever, the ones in the cast, tried to make you laugh when you're singing that? Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not the most disciplined performer. So
are you not?
Yeah. I have to be really careful that I can't be seen laughing. You know, you get moments you can turn up stage that you have to compose yourself, but she was quite a stern character. So I try and find the playful element in Ava Perón as much as I can. But no, she's a great character to play.
Oh,
she is a
fabulous character to play. But she doesn't have a huge amount of playfulness on the stage in the show, do you think?
Act one, definitely.
Yeah.
When you see the kind of juvenile.
Oh, yes, Rainbow High and all of that.
When she's stamping her feet and having a bit of a tantrum because she's not getting enough attention. Those are good moments to kind of find the cheekiness in. But there's obviously quite a somber thread that runs.
And of course, it's a massive part to sing. It's a heavy sing, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. But it's a safe sing. I think it's written... It's been written incredibly well. Mm-hmm. what's so great is that you get those big belty numbers, but then they're balanced beautifully with some lovely kind of soprano. So you never feel like you've overworked your voice. You just feel like you've worked hard, which is great.
You went from Elphaba to this.
Yes.
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 How long did you do Alpha before?
I did standby for 18 months and then I did it full time for 18 months.
Right.
So quite a long
gosh, time. So you were for 3 years mm. in Wicked, yeah. Which is yeah, quite nice to get out of
my
Wicked,
skin
really.
Is, my skin
did
is
you ever do the other one? Did no. you do Elphaba and no?
No, just Elphaba. My soprano's not. Although, having said that, doing this role has kind of expanded my soprano range, but I'm certainly more of an Elphaba than a Glinda. I would right. never have attempted Glinda.
No?
No, it's not naturally where my voice sits.
Okay. Yeah. So you were green?
I was very green.
Yeah,
are there any?
Yeah, so that's obviously a big difference between yeah. Ava Perón is yeah. not green yeah. as such. did you. I'm trying to think. There aren't really any similarities in the roles, are there?
Wow, you say both very strong women and both yeah. quite happy to make themselves unpopular to get what they wanted. So
yeah,
I think if you want to dig deep and, you know, get quite heavy on it, yeah, there are some character traits that aren't too dissimilar.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. There are, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make themselves very very unpopular.
And she was. Now, singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, which is such an iconic song, mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't hear it being sung, you certainly hear it in every lift you step into.
Yeah.
It must be
yeah.
one of the most played pieces of music
yeah.
ever,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
I think
it
probably
is. And
is.
I think, you know, testament to how popular it is that people that don't know musicals or aren't fans of musicals know that song.
Know that song.
Yeah.
So how do you go about approaching Don't Cry For Me, Argentina and trying to sort of make it your own?
I think, to be perfectly honest, I approached the whole piece very, quite cold. I didn't know the show at all.
Oh, really?
No, I'd never seen it. I obviously was familiar with the big show tunes from it, but I just tried to approach it as an acting piece, so I looked at it from the storyline where it sat. It would be very easy to just get up on the balcony in that iconic costume mm-hmm. and just sing it, but it comes at such a... It's such a sensitive part in the storyline. It's that turn for her, that it's a very manipulative piece of writing. And so you to just go out and sing it would be a huge injustice to the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of just had to really think about what the words are, and naturally the kind of the feel of the song then just grows from that. Yeah.
And did you listen to any other versions of it or not? So you never heard like Julie Covington or anybody?
No, I mean, I've done radio interviews where they've played me snippets of it, but I've never... No, I didn't really see... I actually thought it would be detrimental because I would try and copy them and I'd pick up their rhythms and I think, oh, I'm not doing it like that. Should I be doing it like that? Because they were so successful. And I just think you go down a rabbit hole when you do that.
Yeah.
So
no, I think, as you say, you're acting the part. And
yes.
so the song is part of the way
yeah,
you're acting the
absolutely.
Part. And there isn't a right or wrong to it.
No.
There isn't, oh, it should sound like that or it should. It,
no,
it's,
from that perspective,
the way you sing
you
it.
Have to, particularly because it's a true story,
mm.
the focus should always really be, you know, the storyline. And then you build on
the
of
truth
that.
Of it
yeah.
yeah. So how long are you touring for
we
now?
We finish in July, mid-July.
And is that still going all around Europe or are
we
you
do,
coming back
so
to
we're back to the UK. We're a week off right now and then we do up until the beginning of end of June we're in the UK and then we go and do another month over in Germany and Switzerland.
Okay.
And then we finish.
And then now if you could have any part in the world, lead female role in musical theatre to follow this job, what would it be?
I've got my sights set on Carole King.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
I would love to play that role.
Oh, that's it's a fabulous show.
Yeah.
And
it's a beautiful
yeah.
show. It is a beautiful
yeah,
show, but it's for me...
Do you play the piano?
I do, yes.
Do you, oh, so you can do
and
all
that. And
it
bridges the gap for me because I come from a music background, not a theatre background. So it's that kind of... It's, for me, one of the most kind of... highbrow jukebox musicals that's out there. You know, it's a true story, and Carole King is just wonderful. Who
yeah.
wouldn't want to sing those songs, you know?
Oh,
so
that sounds like a shoo-in for that. You sound like you're... Yes.
I would love
Ring
to.
Ring them up now. And yes, yes. When I'm available, can I be in that? You'd be perfect.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah. Well, I hope we see you doing that.
Thank you. I would love to. I mean, I know there are rumours there's a tour going out, but I think, you know, there's also the West End version, so I'm touring at the moment, yeah. so there's always the pull to come
well,
back.
Well, it's such a successful show. It
yeah.
will probably tour and stay in the West
Hopefully.
End at the same time, won't
so,
it? I mean, it's done so well.
Yeah.
So, listen, yeah. We can hear all this hubbub going on outside. This is because we're in the green room of the Albert Hall, obviously. Have you sung in the Albert Hall before?
I've never sung. No. So this was a no-brainer when I got asked to do it. Yeah.
And you've done your sound check?
I've just done
it, and how did that go?
I have to say that I hear this music, obviously, 7 times a week, but to hear it played by a 60-piece orchestra, I had a lump in my throat. Yeah. I really did. It's very special.
Amazing. And what are you wearing?
I'm wearing the costume.
Oh, are you?
You're
wearing a white dress.
White dress, blonde wig, red lip.
The works.
Which will help, I think, as you go out there and it...
Well, then you will feel like you're not... It's not a concert not performance just of that song. Yeah. It is actually being Ava Perón singing.
So I'm really excited.
Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Yeah. Well, we're all excited. Yeah. I can't wait to hear it. So we'll look forward. And thank you so much for taking time to come and chat to us.
No, not at all. Thank
you
very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Right. Well, sitting on the sofa now opposite me is the lovely John Partridge, looking incredibly well, if I'm... Well, you always do look... You're very buff.
Now, you say that to all the boys.
I do. Yes, I do. with no consequences. You look very... You're always very buff, and you keep yourself very fit, don't you?
Well, I have lost 17 kilos in order to play Zaza, because I'm currently playing Zaza in Le Cage aux Folles. And I didn't think it would look too good to be... as buff as I was in all those frocks. So I've actually dropped about 17 kilos
that,
in order to...
Do you know what? I was
well.
Actually going to ask you that. How were you going to hide all your muscles when you're in a dress?
Well, I've kind of lost them. So I've not worked out for the duration of the... We've been playing since January, but I stopped working out from the September before when I sort of... August, September time. Last before I started work on the show.
That would be quite odd, because presumably working out was quite a big part of your life.
But I worked out for aesthetics. I didn't really work out for fitness.
Right. Okay.
I don't really like going to the gym. I do it because it's part of my job. So I've kind of gone back to my classical frame. You know, when I was a classical dancer, this is kind of what I've done. So now, unfortunately, I do have to run.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's no weight and lots of
sweating. No, it's a different sort of working out, you see. The working out to lose weight, which is what most of us have to do, is the thing where you actually have to get puffed out.
How does that feel, getting puffed out? It's sweating. That's what it is. And I don't really like to sweat.
No, do not.
Contrary to public belief.
No.
I'm not really into sweat. But I have lost a lot of weight in order to do that. So it's a different kind of thing for me. I can buy lovely clothes off the peg. I don't have to have things made. I can wear the husband's clothes,
have things made to fit your big arms?
I couldn't buy anything off the peg. So, because if you, in the UK, if you have broad shoulders, it must also mean that your gut is as wide as they are. Because that's what they fit things to. So you have to consequently have things made. So, but now I can four weeks ago I was in Canada because I shoot a TV show in Toronto, and I was out there, and for the first time I could buy something off the peg, and I was like, yes, I've done it. Yeah.
Welcome to the real world.
I know.
Welcome to the rest of us. Buy everything off the peg. Now, we'll all know John from EastEnders.
Yeah.
But before EastEnders, I mean, you were a classical dancer first.
Yeah.
And you'd done loads of musical theatre before you went into EastEnders. So did you miss it when you were doing EastEnders? But how many years did you do that for?
I did EastEnders for about 5 years. But then I've kind of been back every year on and off till last year. I didn't miss it, no, because theatre is really hard. It's not that hard to walk into the Queen Vic and say, gin and tonic, Peggy. But to do something like this every night of the week, it requires a huge amount of discipline. I'm being slightly flippant here. Of course, television acting is not just that as well, but it's a different type of discipline. But doing 8 shows a week, touring the country, being away from your family, recreating that same performance or trying to give or find that performance every night is incredibly difficult, you know, and it is tiring. And I ain't no spring chicken no more. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it is really hard work.
You're still quite young.
Thank you for saying that. That's
so you're about to open in Le Cage Folle.
I am next week. We just had a little break and we open in Dartford next week. Yeah, which is only 6 miles from my house.
Oh, well,
which
that's
is
handy.
Fabulous.
That's great.
For me, so I'm easing my way back in.
You can live at home.
Yeah, I can live at home and then we go off to Birmingham and carry on around the country. But it's a great show. You know, it is a show that asks the questions, what is a normal family? And also, I think it asks the question, you know, what does it mean to be a mother? And I think sometimes that people always think, you know, what is Le Cage aux Folles? And that's the difficulty in the title. People don't necessarily recognize the title. Or if you do tell them, they're not kind of sure what it is. But really, that's what this is. It is a family story. And it's just very timely to be taking the show around the country now. You know, I sing the song I Am What I Am.
Well, and I was going to say, if people don't know Le Cage aux Folles, they do know that song. And that has become a gay anthem, really. Well, it did years ago.
Yeah.
It became the gay anthem.
I mean, you know,
liberation
it's a protest and
celebration.
Yeah,
I think.
A protest song, for want of a better word. And really, I Am What I Am now is used. I've seen it at the Olympics. You see it at major sporting events. You know, it's a song about anybody who just, you know, doesn't want to be ignored anymore, or somebody that has is extremely aspirational. And for me to stand on the stage and have the opportunity, the person I am, and especially the person I am today, you know, it is life-affirming for me, and it is so heartwarming to see. We just played the show for 3 months, and we had a little break, and, you know, I've done this for a long time. I've been doing this for 30 years. And every single night, no matter where we were, from Bradford to Birmingham, from Aberdeen to Truro, people got on their feet at the end of the show every single night. Mm-hmm. Your midweek Wednesday matinee that's of a certain type of age is on their feet. Young people are on their feet. Your male, female, gay, straight, old, young, because it is a message that right now I am so pleased to say that people respond to, and this is a story that people respond to. The book by Harvey Fierstein, Jerry Herman's score. I often wonder, when you write a song like I Am What I Am, if you know what sort of life that song is going to go on to have. Mm. Outside of, you know, when you sit down at the piano and you put those, because it's a very short song, really, there's not much to it, really, but it is so huge and so powerful. And I just wonder if you can ever know when you sit there that you're creating something that is going to go on to have the most enormous life outside of you and probably outside of anything you could ever have imagined. If I had any hair on my body now, because it's all been taken off for the show, they'd all be stood on end. This
and
theater.
You're doing your full costume tonight.
I'm putting on the whole shebang.
The whole shebang. Good. Yeah, as I said, you've done loads of musical theatre. I mean, that's been your life before we all knew you from EastEnders. Mm-hmm. So after this, if you could pick perhaps you're doing it now, and some people have said, you know, your best part ever, your favourite part to play in musical theatre. If it wasn't this part, which sounds like this kind of could be this, but what would you want to do in the future?
You know, I tend to not look too far forward or too far back. It's just kind of how I am. And if you'd have asked me last year if I'd have been playing this role, I'd have probably said not in a million years. But now I am. I'm playing it. You know, I do have a little desire to do The Boy from Oz. It's a show that I saw Hugh Jackman doing that show on Broadway, and that is one of my sort of but I may be slightly too old for it right now. You know, there's no amount of Botox that could help me with that.
I just say, you look very young. 46. I would never have guessed.
There's not a wrinkle on you. Well, that's very kind of you, but I think if you look closely, you will see that it's all smoke and mirrors. Yeah, don't get too good.
Don't get closer than I am now. You're fine.
But I kind of love doing what I'm doing when I'm doing it. And like I say, I you know, I never had any, you know, I really never thought I'd get the chance to play this role. And I'm so grateful that, you know, lovely Bill Kenwright gave me the opportunity to play it, because it's a show that I saw originally at the Palladium when I was 14. And I remember looking at the stage going, If only my life could be like that. If when I grow up, I hope I can be an international drag superstar and fall in love. And you know, but I really did look at it and think, oh my goodness, I really hope that my life could be like that. And now it's come around. So sometimes I think if you just wish, you know, if you just wish hard enough, you know, you can make it happen.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can't wait to see you performing tonight. Really can't. Really excited about it. John Partridge, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
For coming back to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers, and interviews.